One of the most fun things about being a dad, most of you know that I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, at this stage of life at least, is when they try and process what they want to be when they grow up. You know, it kind of depends usually on the people that they're hanging out with. When they hung out with grandma, one of my kids said she wants to be a cooker like grandma and be a good cook because grandma Fa's a good baker and is really good at that. This morning, my 4-year-old was playing pastor and had Sheriff Cowley preach to all her other people before church. But sometimes you think about what they want to be, you know, one of them wanted to be a veterinarian or all these different things, and it kind of makes you kind of wonder, you know, where are you getting this? But the majority of the time, actually, what I find with my own kids is that they have this innate sense of what maybe God has wired to them. My oldest has made comments about, hey, I might want to be a worship leader sometime, and I think, you know, you've actually been able to sing on key since you were 2, so that might actually be something you could do. You know, or, hey, I want to be a veterinarian. And you see, yeah, you really do have this gift for animals. And so we can see that already in this young age, that they have this idea of maybe the way that God has created them to be. Now, trust me, I wanted to be all kinds of things, a volcano scientist, an engineer, a lawyer, you know, all kinds of things. And, I ended up being a pastor. But even in all of that, we can sometimes see how God works. And so I want you to think about this. What is it that you wanted to be when you grew up, and what are you now? Or maybe if you're younger, think about what is it that you want to be. But not, I want you not only to think about your occupation, because your occupation is only one aspect of your life. You know, usually it's one of those things that we lead when people ask, hey, what do you do? But it's really only one aspect. And so I want you to think not only about what you want to be as far as an occupation, but I want you to think even further than that. What type of person do you want to be? And what kind of a skill set or gifting do you think God could use you in your community or in the relationships that you have? Because one of the things that I found in my own life is one of the most powerful things and the biggest rushes you can get is when you just know that you were there for a reason. Like, God had you to work in that particular case, and he used your particular skill set or whatever, and that he was using you in that. And the other thing is, one of the most exciting things, is when you discover these gifts that you never had. Well, throughout the last 8 weeks, we've been going through a sermon series on growth, and we've looked at a variety of different things. And on Easter Sunday, I started off with this idea that God's grace, it grows us like the sun grows a tree. And the more enamored we are by Christ and what he's done, it will automatically shape us and help us to grow into who he wants us to be. And part of that is making sure that we have the good soil and the good fertilizer. And we looked at things like repentance that remind us that we're broken and we need Christ, first of all. Other times we looked at reminding ourselves that there's a fertilizer inside of us. There's the Holy Spirit and the godly desires that he's put to help us overcome some of the sinful desires that we had. And 2 weeks ago, we've been looking at some of those ways that we trim off these aspects that may not be there. But last week, we looked at how we battle Satan and his schemes against us. Not only that, but patterns and things that we can do to grow, reading the Bible, prayer, spending time with one another who can shape us and do that. But today, I want you to think about it in another way. Because if we want to become who God desires, we view it as, you know, well, I'll make sacrifices to make this work. If you're a parent, you sacrifice maybe doing certain things so you can take care of your kids, and you give up certain inconveniences. But this isn't what Paul has in mind here. What Paul has in mind when he says that your bodies are a living sacrifice is the sacrificial system of the Old Testament that used to be there, of the burning of the animals and raising and all of that in the temple. And what he's saying is that your lives and your actions are that kind of a worship to God. And so we need to remember that everything we do has the ability to worship God. And your actions, not just here on Sunday, but throughout the week, the way that you work with your coworkers or your schoolmates or the way you do your job or the way that you take care of your kids or the way that you take care of your house, all of these things, everything you do is a way that you can worship the Lord. And we need to have that kind of a mindset, because we don't think that church is just something you do on Sunday. It's our everyday being. And the more that we can understand that God has put us in this place and he has worked in our lives in such a way that he wants to use us in all these areas, and that when we do what God's called us to do, that this is a way that we can worship him and show our devotion, then we'll begin to understand how God has knit us together and why he has created us, and we'll understand our purpose. And we will understand that the way we act and the what we do is one of the ways that we can worship God. It's just not here on Sunday when we sing beautiful songs or we listen to the word, but everything we do. And so when we think of worship and when we think about growth, we need to have this huge mindset that everything we do is a way that we can worship God. Now, he also makes it absolutely clear here that our actions and the way that we come at the world is completely different than the world around us. He says it there in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so if we want to be who we are in Christ, and if we want to be who God's called us to be, we need to realize that we will be different than those around us, that we may feel those rub points with our culture, with our coworkers. We may have to take some slack because we don't do things the way we do or that our boss wants us to do because we want to have integrity. Or we may not go along with the scheme and gossip about somebody else or belittle that person at school because we are a Christian and we know that that's not the kind of behavior God wants us to be. And so what we need to realize that our actions are the way that God is, we can worship God, and that those actions are going to call us to be different than the world around us. And so we may take some heat for this, and sometimes that can be difficult to take because we can get bashed or belittled. But what we need to understand is that when we make that stand, in even the small ways, we are showing the God who created us and Jesus Christ who died for us that he is an important part of our life, and that we are going to worship him in those things. Now, that's an important kind of baseline for us to remember, because it reminds us that we are at war. And our lives are going to be different, and that we are going to have to live differently. And this is who God's called us to be. And it reminds us that all of our life is under God's control, every square inch. And so with those things in mind, though, Paul also goes into a discussion about gifts. And sometimes when it comes to Christianity and how we worship God or how we actually act out this, we can have a one-size-fit-all mentality. We can think, you know, the way that you have to grow is by reading your Bible in the morning. And if you can just have a quiet time in the morning, then you're going to be okay. Well, some of you are evening people, and the best time for you to read your Bible is before you go to bed. Or some of us, we may think, well, the way that we pray is, well, we need to sit in a quiet spot and pray. You can probably figure it out by the way I pace here. I'm not really a great sitter in prayer. If I need to pray, I need to go out in the nature and pray. That's the way I pray. That's the way I focus. And so we talked about that last week, that if we want to grow in those things, it's not a one-size-fits-all. We need to look at the way that God's created us, and we need to do those applications and to live these ways that he's called us to in our own unique way. And that also is true in the way that we serve God, because God has designed each of us to serve in our own unique way through spiritual gifts. We see it there in verse 4. He says, just as each of us has one body with members, and these members do not all have the same function, right? You see that? And then at the end of verse 6, it says, we all have what? Different gifts. And so what that means is that God has wired each and every single one of us differently. And the way that we serve and the way that we worship God through our actions and that is going to be different. In other words, not everybody is going to be up here leading worship. Not everybody is going to be preaching. Not everybody is going to be serving coffee or teaching kids or whatever the case may be. But that God has brought us together to serve in that way. And so part of if we want to grow in understanding is to realize that God has created us uniquely. We all have different thumbprints, right? I mean, how many of you guys have gone through probably visa paperwork or your passport or background checks, and you got to fill out get your thumbprint, right? And the reason why they do that is because they know that you're unique. Every fingerprint is different. That's how they can keep track of us. Well, when we come to gifts, what Paul says is that each one of us is uniquely gifted by God, that we all have these different spiritual gifts that he's going to use to empower us and help us to become the people that he wants us to be. And so again, We got to fight this one size fit all. We not only need to be different than the world, but we need to find our own unique place in the way that we serve and the way that God has gifted us. And so I want us to spend some time thinking about our spiritual gifts and the way that God has gifted us to serve. That's really where Paul goes in this text. Now, I don't know what your reaction is when you hear spiritual gifts. If you don't have a church background, you think spiritual, you may think supernatural and think like, I mean, are we talking about, you know, these movies like The Incredibles or The Incredible Hulk where, you know, he becomes green and he gets to be, you know, all these spiritual, these special kind of supernatural things? That's not really what God envisions. Some of us, if we have a church background, depending what it may be, my own church background is when we talk about spiritual gifts, we don't think about really the crazy, you know, charismatic stuff. We just talked about the stuff that seems normal to us. And others of you, if you have more of a Pentecostal background where they may focus on one. And so I want us, no matter what background we do, that we're making sure that we're talking about the same thing. And so when we talk about spiritual gifts, the definition that we use here at Crossway Church is that we are talking about spiritual gifts are special abilities given by Christ through the Holy Spirit to empower believers to serve God in the church and outside of it. And we see that right here, that God is the one who gives us these gifts and that we are given them to serve. Now, we're going to unpack this a little bit, but you'll notice in your handouts, I actually gave you two. One, just as a handout that I use for spiritual gifts that we've used in different classes that we've taught, so that you can look at this a little bit further and see some of the gifts that we are. But the other is the sermon notes. Now, you'll see that the Bible teaches all kinds of, it lists many different kinds of spiritual gifts. In our passage, he lists seven, prophecy, encouraging, giving, serving. Those are some of the gifts that he did. But if you were to look at throughout the Bible, the whole spectrum, there are 21, and you know, there could probably be more. And there's a bunch of disagreement maybe on what some of these gifts are, but this is just some of the lists that's there, and it's in those sermon notes with the Bible references for where you can find them if you're interested. And so what you need to see is there's all kinds of gifts. Some of them are just things that we take for granted, like encouraging. You know, I mean, you may look at that list and go, well, what's so great about encouraging? Well, Paul says that that's a spiritual gift. Some of you may say, well, that's teaching. I mean, what does that have to do with it? In our own particular list, maybe the one thing that seems a little bit more supernatural is prophecy. But prophecy is really just speaking the word of God, a Bible text in somebody's life, that it works and it guides them. But no matter what we see here is that there's a wide variety of gifts. And we're going to see, but that we actually usually have more than one, and it's not nice and neat the way God works or the way that these things are. But I want you to see that there's a wide variety of gifts. And even if you go back to the Old Testament, some of them, I mean, there's even building with your hands where it talks about, you know, the creative ability where the Holy Spirit gifted certain people to build the tabernacle. And so I want you to see that even though we may come to church or we may come to think about spiritual gifts in a certain narrow focus, maybe it's the supernatural things like speaking in tongues or prophesying or miraculous healing, that all of these things that are listed here are the way that God has gifted you. Now, sometimes we can also think, well, how does this whole thing work? I mean, how is encouraging like a spiritual gift? That just seems like me saying great things to people. Well, what we need to understand is that spiritual gifts are a blend of natural talents and supernatural abilities. It's not a nice, neat package here. But the way that God works is every human being has talents. I mean, God's wired them this way, but what spiritual gifts are where God is at work in the life of a Christian, and he uses it to empower them and work in such a way. So let me just give you an example of encouraging. When you speak an encouraging word to someone, you're not just being an encouraging person, but God can use you through the power of the Holy Spirit to give that person exactly what they need to hear at that moment. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard it throughout people's lives where they've been going through a really discouraging time and somebody came alongside of them and gave them an encouraging verse or just gave them a hug and said, you know, I know it's hard, but you know what? God's going to be faithful. He'll get you through it. And that God used his Spirit, used those words, which maybe that person didn't even think were that important, to give them the strength that they needed to overcome that. That's God using this natural kind of talent or ability or disposition and using his spirit to work boldly for his purpose. Same thing for teaching. You guys may go down there and think, you know, I'm just teaching Sunday school kids and, you know, yeah, I can get in front of people and I can talk. But you never know that on that day when you were teaching that God worked in that kid's life, and when you explained the gospel that they finally grasped what it meant, and that God used your words to draw them to faith and to open up their hearts to him. Did you teach? Did you prepare? Yes, absolutely. Is that kind of a natural thing? Yeah. It's this thing that we take for granted, but yet God can work supernaturally in that. And I could go on and on again about this, but what I want us to see is that God has gifted you with different natural talents and abilities, and that he empowers those things to accomplish his word, and there's a blend there. And so this is what I want us to see, that yeah, we may belittle some of these things like administration or organization, and we may not think they're that important, but again, God can use an administrator to grow the church and to bring all these people together and to get them organized on the same path. God may use your gift of hospitality to make somebody feel comfortable and that they finally want to start coming to church and open themselves up to faith. Why? Because you were hospitable to them and the Spirit used that gift. And so I want you to see here that God can use even things that you may not think are that big important, but he lists them as important in the Bible as spiritual gifts for his good and his purpose. And so we need to come at that. We need to do that. Now, you'll notice the way that I've been talking about here is I use God as the subject of my verbs a lot, right? And there's a reason for that, because Paul makes it absolutely clear in this text that God gives believers the gifts he thinks are important to them. He says it, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. That's the way he talks about it in Romans. You see, we have gifts, they've been given to us. That's the language that Paul uses. In other places, in 1 Corinthians 12, which is another place where they talk about gifts, or 1 Peter 4, which is another one where they talk about gifts, or Ephesians 4, all of those are listed in your passage where you can see that list, where we will see where it says each one should use whatever gifts he has received in 1 Peter. Now, each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, is given for the common good. But do you see that there, that the gifts are given to us, that they are, God has bestowed them on us. And this is important for us because we need to come at this with this kind of a mindset that God created you for a purpose. He has a plan for your life and he has equipped you to accomplish this plan. This means we don't necessarily need to, you know, try and do everything we can to make everything work. Rather, we need to see and determine how God has already wired us and to live inside of that. And this is important for us because sometimes when we come to gifting or when we come to think about how we need to grow and become more like Christ, we go to two extremes. And one of those extremes is that we don't think our gifts are that valuable to God. And so we belittle them. But what the Bible says is that God uniquely gifted you with your set of spiritual gifts. And even though you may not always think they're that important, God did. That's why he put you and on this earth, and he gave you those giftings so that you can use it. And so we need to be careful that we do not belittle them. I have said this over and over again, probably even if you've been at Crossway, this isn't the only story that time I've told it, but I have just learned not to second guess my mom's gifts. Yesterday, I did some work over at my HOA. There was a party, and I wore my Crossway church rain jacket that my mom gave me. And I remember when I first got that jacket, who knows how long ago, in the early stages of Crossway Church, before we were just meeting even as a group, my mom gave me a rain jacket with Crossway Church embroidered on it. And I thought, I already have a rain jacket, Mom. Why do I need a rain jacket with the Crossway Church on it? Do you know how many times I start wearing that jacket and people come up to you and go, what church are you at again? Where's Crossway Church? You see, my mom understood the power of a jacket with Crossway Church embroidered on it. It's a conversation piece, right? And it's an easy way for you to engage in a conversation. Likewise, my mom, one Christmas, gave Steph and I these lap trays. She mailed them in a package and we opened it up and it's literally like 12 lap trays that are in a box. And I'm thinking, what do I need lab trays for? I mean, this is like, thanks, Mom, but this really isn't the coolest Christmas gift I could get. Every time we have a big group of people over and we don't have enough room at our table and people are sitting around our couches, what do you think they use? Lab trays, right? Because my mom understood that these trays could help us accomplish the ministry that we are trying to do. And okay, maybe she wanted to give me a gift from Sioux Center because they were made in her hometown too, all right? But what I'm saying is that every single one of those gifts that my mom has given me, even though I look at it and go, I don't know why it's there, I understand the purpose of it later. And it may not be big. A lap tray is really not that big of a deal. But have you ever tried to eat on one of those little paper plates? It's a mess, right? And so even in those small things and that, we can see a purpose. And what the Bible tells us when it looks at Scripture is it says that God comes at you and He gave you those gifts in the exact same way that my mom did with us. That those gifts are there for a reason and you may not understand them at that moment, but that He equipped you there for a reason. And so we shouldn't belittle them and think, I just got the gift of encouraging or hospitality. It's not really that big of a deal. No, it's a big deal because God equipped you that way. And for you to become who God wants you to be as hospitable as you can. Encourage as much as you can. And don't look at yourself and say, I wish I could teach Sunday school like that person, or I wish I could sing like these people, or I wish I could play the piano like so-and-so. No, God has wired you for that purpose. And don't belittle it, because what the Scripture tells us is that God created you with your own unique thumbprint. And we need to make sure that we don't belittle it, because even though we don't see it, there is a purpose behind the reason He created us to be. On the second end, Paul talks about this in our passage, is we can't be arrogant because we did nothing to deserve these gifts. See, Paul says it right there in verse 3, for the grace given to me, I say to every single one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance of the faith of God has distributed to each of you. And we need to remember that, yes, maybe some of our gifts put us in the public limelight, or maybe we can go, and there's nothing wrong with us feeling like, hey man, I can just sense that God has put me here for a reason. And that's great. You can pat yourself on the back, but make sure you don't go pat yourself on the back and then start looking down on others and saying, if only other people would sing like I sing, or if they would do this, then we would be okay. No, because what the Bible says is that we need to look ourselves at sober judgment, that God wired you and I the way that He wired us, and that we had nothing to do with it. And so if you have a gift that is public, great. God gave you that gift. And yes, you may have taken vocal lessons or piano lessons or guitar lessons to improve that. Or maybe you work hard on teaching and doing those things. And that's great. You're doing your part. But ultimately, God is the one who gave you those gifts. And so you can't look down on people who have different gifts than you. And we need to make sure that we don't have that kind of an attitude. See, what Paul wants us to be as a church and as a group of people, the way that we're going to grow Crossway Church and grow as individuals, is we do not focus on others and think ourselves less because we have different gifts. On the flip side, we can't look down on others and think that their gifts aren't important or that they aren't near as important to us because ours are more important. Rather, we need to have this view of the body, that we need the hand, we need the arm, we need the head, we need everything in order for us to function and to do that. And that God has brought each and every single one of us here for a reason. And He has knit us together. And so I want you to think about this, because this is important for us to get. If we want to grow, we need to understand how God has created us to be, what our unique thumbprint is, what our unique gift set of gifts is, but we also need to understand that we do not grow and we do not act individually, but rather corporately, that God has put us in the situation. And so we need to understand that. I want you to see here that gifts are not something that we just think about, but that we have to be used, and so that God wants us to discover our gifts and use them. There's a story that I read once about a musician, and he had this beautiful violin. I don't know if it was Stradivarius or I don't know what it was, but his name was Nikolai Baganini, and And he was given this beautiful violin that could be played and he could make beautiful music on it. And when he died, he wanted to gift it to a city. But he wasn't really smart about the way that he gifted it to a city. He wanted to gift it to the museum. And he didn't say, he actually made it clear that he didn't want anybody to use it. Well, that beautiful violin is awesome, and it may have been produced great music, but if it sits in a vial in a museum and isn't used, it's not being used for its purpose. And not only that, this wood and the strings and everything, when it isn't used, it gets out of tune, and it actually wears the instrument down. Well, some of us are like that violin. We're not actually using the gifts that God has given us. And so our challenge isn't just to think about our gifts. That is one of our things that we need to do. Our job is to figure out how God has gifted us and serve, but we also need to serve accordingly. We don't need to just be a violin sitting in a museum not being played when it was created for beautiful music. And some of you guys, God has knit you and you have gifting that you don't even understand or see. And part of your job is to figure out how God has gifted you and to use those gifts accordingly. So I want you to think about that this week. What are the gifts that God has given you, and where are the areas that you see someone needing to step in and help? Maybe my grammar isn't great there, sorry, but what are the areas that you see that you can see that someone needs to step in and help? Because often where there's a need and where you're gifted, that's where we really find our purpose and where we can grow. Now, there's all kinds of ways that you can discover your gifting. We actually have a spiritual gifts test in the back that you can fill out. And you can fill it out and look at, there's 20 of those 21 that we put up there, and you can take it and see how you rank. And in the back, you can, you know, fill it out. And we do that. If you want to become a member of our church, which we're going to offer a membership class later this summer, we ask you to take that membership test or that spiritual gifts as a part of our membership, to think about your gifting and think about the ways that you can serve. And so they're on the back table there on the with the flowers, and you can grab one and take it. And if you've never taken a spiritual gifts test, just take it. But there's no magic thing about a spiritual gifts test. I mean, sometimes you can make them kind of be what you want them to be. And so it's not just in taking that gift. That gift can open your eyes up to things that you may have and gifts that you may not even be aware of. But maybe the way that you discover it is you just sit down with somebody that you know knows you and you say, what do you think are the gifts that I have that I may not even be aware of? And that you ask that question and that you get that input from them. Maybe it's a youth leader or a friend or a spouse. And you say, what do you think are the ways that I'm uniquely gifted and how can I serve? But the goal is that we don't just understand about ourselves and get our thumbprint and understand what our thumbprint looks like. The goal of getting a thumb of the fingerprints, at least on the majority of the stuff, if you're not getting booked in jail, right, is that you can go serve, that you can serve in a children's area, or that you can get your passport, or that you can go do things. That's the reason why you get that. And so what we see in this text is that God wants us to figure out who we are, to think about how we're wired, but he wants us to serve and to use those gifts. That's what's critically important. So I want you to think about that. What are the gifts that God has given you, and how can you do that? Now here's what I also want you to realize is often we have a variety of spiritual gifts. It's not just one, and that you may use certain ones at certain times. And the way that God's developing that gift in you and you didn't realize it, and so one takes prominence. But sometimes you may not use that gift because there isn't a need. You know, one of the greatest things that I realized, you may not even think it's that big of a deal, but it was an amazing thing for me. I think it was a year and a half ago, I played piano over here because I led worship. And some of you guys came up to me and go, I didn't know that you could play piano, and I didn't really even know that you can lead worship. Well, I went back to my church that I served a youth pastor in a month ago, and what do you think they all talked about? They remember when I played piano and I led worship. Why? Because that was the role I needed to play there. Thankfully, I don't have to lead worship here, right? I mean, it's not that I can't do it. It's just God has provided us with Lauren and Brian and others of you, even maybe who are out in the audience, that can be worship leaders for us. And so I haven't had to use that gift. It's not a matter like I lost that gifting. It's just a matter of I don't need to serve in that way. I have to work on my teaching or other areas as well. And so there may be times where you serve in one area in one way, and that gifting is more prominent than the other. And then because of the situation or the role that you're in, another time that may fall off for a little while and you do it. But you have this bag of gifts that God has given you. And sometimes it's just a matter of uncovering it. And all of a sudden you go, man, I didn't think I could ever be a youth leader. And now I really realize that I loved it. My roommate in when I first got out of college, I was an engineer, a mechanical engineer, and in Linden, Washington. And I was the stereotypical youth guy. That's why as soon as I landed in a church, they came up to me and were like, you need to volunteer with youth. I mean, because I'm the loud and obnoxious and, you know, kind of extroverted guy who can work a room. And so they looked at me and they go, oh, you could probably be a youth guy. Well, my roommate was the exact opposite. He was an engineer as well, but he was the stereotypical engineer, right? Quiet, reserved, wouldn't talk to you unless you talked to him. And he was asked if he would be a youth leader. And I remember talking to him. He goes, I don't think I could do it. I go, well, what's the harm? Try it. He was one of the best youth leaders that church had ever had. It wasn't even the church that I was in. It was a different one. Why? Because, yeah, it may have taken him a while to form relationships, and he may not have been the gregarious guy who was in front of everybody and doing that. But, man, did he have a dry sense of humor that those kids ate up, you know? And they knew that when Jay said something, it was going to be hilarious. So they all paid attention. And they knew that he was going to be a rock to them, that if they had questions, that they could answer it. And so he may not be the loud guy playing games and running around and doing everything, which he thought it meant to be a youth leader. But when he put himself out there and he tried to be a youth leader, God used it in a powerful way. And so I want you to think about this. Part of it is, if we want to identify and figure out what our gifting is we need to try on new things. And when we try on new things, it's scary because we're not sure if we're good at it. But what do we remind ourselves? It's not about us. It's about God. God has gifted you that way. God has put that need, and he's called you to serve in that way. And so we don't have to take our eyes off ourselves, and we put our eyes on God and realize that he's the one who's going to do whatever he needs to do anyway. And that takes the pressure off of us to know that we just need to be faithful. We need to try and understand how God works and how he's knit us, and then be faithful in trying to serve accordingly. That's what our job is. And so I want you to think about that over the next course of weeks. But I want you to think about two particular areas, because God has brought this body of believers together, Crossway Church, together for a reason. Over and over in the Bible, Paul talks about the body of believers, the local group of believers being the body of Christ, and that each member has a role. And I cannot tell you how many times I have seen, it's one of the coolest things about being a church planter, and also the scariest things, honestly, where literally, I mean, especially in the early years, but even now, somebody moves and they're gone, and we're like, how are we going to have a sound tech? I mean, I literally don't know if we're going to have any sound techs. And guess what? Somebody comes, like Grant, who's running the sound, you know, and all of a sudden God provides a sound tech for us. Or I don't know if we're going to have enough Sunday school teachers or junior church teachers. Well, guess what? God brings one of you guys about 3 months ago, and you go, you know, I might give it a shot. And you're like a great teacher. I mean, God brought you to Crossway Church, and he may be bringing some of you to Crossway Church just for the reason of you to serve in a certain way, and for God to use you to build up our church, to teach our kids, to lead worship, to do the behind-the-scenes stuff, to free up other people who have those other gifts to do it, and that you're here for a reason. And so I want you to think about that. If you're a regular attender here of Crossway, or even a first-time guest, when you end up whatever church it is, why is it that God may have brought you to that body of believers? And it isn't just to sit in the pews. It's to get involved and to serve and to feel that rush of knowing that God brought you here for a reason. And so part of what today's challenge is to think about what your gifts are and to think about the ways that you can serve the church. The other thing you need to think about, though, is that God hasn't just placed you in the Crossway Church to serve. He's placed you in your workplace, in your community, in your group of friends to glorify him. and that He has put you there so that you can serve Him through these gifts. And you may not think that encouraging is that big of a deal or hospitality is that big of a deal. But if you invite that friend over to your house, you never know how that constant invite may have kept that person from taking the wrong steps in their life, and that they have put their hope and trust in God and brought them in a whole nother direction just because you befriended them or because you invited them to your house. Just because you are an encouraging presence to your coworker and you have been that, you never know the way that God is going to use that. And so you need to not only look here at the church how you can serve, but you need to realize that God has embedded you in your community, in your group of friends, in your family, so that you can serve Him. And again, we hope that it's so that people can come to faith in Christ and all that, but it can be even just in small ways that you're showing the light of Jesus around. This last week, yesterday, we hung out with a bunch of our neighborhood people in our HOA, and we were hanging out. And as I'm preaching through this, I realized, you know, I haven't really even thought about it yet because I've been so busy with other things. But God brought Stephanie and I. We know it because the other house fell through, and if you've been here for a long time, you know that was an up and down. But God brought us to Valley View Homeowners Association for a reason, right? I mean, we don't know what it is. But God brought us there. God put you in your neighborhood for a reason. And one of the things we need to do, that we need to pray for, is, God, why am I here? Why did you put me next to these people? Or why did you put me in contact with these coworkers? And to ask, God, why is it that you've done that? And ask Him to show that to us. And so my challenge to you is, think about how God has served you. Go take the test. Go talk to your friends. But also, go and ask God, why am I here? How do you want me to grow? How can I use those gifts at Crossway and in our community around us? Because if we want to grow as Christ and become the people that God has called us to be, we need to understand this individual mission that He's laid for us. And so this is the way that we start, by figuring out how God has gifted us and think about the areas that He's placed us so that we can grow. And I just want to end with one other statement, and that is, I already told you that we need to make sure that when we look at our gifts, we don't get cocky or belittle it, but we also realize the reason why we serve. The reason why we serve, the reason why we have gifting, is because Christ has served us first. And so when we serve others, we always do it with that spirit of humility and gratitude. We serve because Christ served us. We can be gracious to people because God was gracious to us. And we need to always keep that in mind, that the reason why we serve, the reason why we do everything we do, is because of what Jesus Christ has done in our life. That He died for our sins, that He rose again from the dead, and that He is at work in our lives, and that His Spirit is working in our lives. And so we need to even there remember that as our focus. So that's my challenge for you this week, is to think about this. How has God uniquely gifted you, and what are the ways that you can serve others and this church as Christ served you? Let's pray. Dear Jesus Christ, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come to you. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God who loves us and that loved us even when we are unlovable. And Lord, I pray that the folks here today, that we will take up our challenge and we will think about how you can help us to become who you've created us to be. Lord, you have wired each and every one of us different with unique gifts and unique purpose. And Lord, I pray that you allow us to find that purpose and to find those gifts, but that we don't just set them to the side and do nothing about them, but that Crossway Church and its members are known for being a community that use those gifts to love one another and serve others here in the church and in the community around us. And we ask this all in your precious name. Amen. Before we take communion, I do want to say one of the biggest privileges of being your pastor is that I do see you guys doing a lot of work. I mean, honestly, I don't even have a clue of half the stuff that happens on in this church and the small ways that you guys serve one another. But we can always do more, you know? And the reason why we can do more and the reason why we can serve is because Christ served us. And so as we come to wrap up our service, I want us to remember that truth, that Christ served us, that even though we were unlovable, that even though we were undeserving of His grace, we were sinners and we had done everything to thumb our nose at God and say that we know better than Him, that even though we continually reject God and that we don't do the things that He's called us to do, that if we have faith in Christ, that He has provided us a way to have that relationship with Him. And that He did that as a free gift by dying on the cross and suffering the wrath that you and I deserve so that we can spend eternity and have a relationship with God. So I want you to remember that. So I invite you